Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Good morning to my family here in Mount Olive. I have been pretty much immersed for the last 48 hours in all things Mount Olive. Pastor Jeff and I took advantage of having some time to be together, and he gave me a tour of all the sites. We took a five-mile hike in the Neuse River, cliffs of the Neuse. Sounded kind of scary at first until I saw how he spelled it. I thought he was talking about a noose. He's going to take me down to the cliffs of the Neuse. And, of course, we had a wonderful meal at the farmhouse in Newton Grove. Just saw all the amazing cities of this area. Calypso, Seven Springs, and I asked Pastor Jeff if he would take me to all the sites of his life. So we went to like his childhood home, and we went to the home that he and his wife lived in across the street from here 22 years ago. Maybe some of y'all don't know that Pastor Jeff and Lisa lived over there, and they were not saved, and Jeff was strung out, and he was a mess. And then Pastor Doug Bartlett went over there one day after Jeff and Lisa had visited here, and he went in that house over there and led Jeff to Jesus. Praise God. And then Jeff got discipled, and look at him now. I mean, he's the pastor, and the church is a whole lot bigger than it was. So I just got very encouraged just to see all of that. And then when I walked in this morning, I was so blessed that Ann Bartlett walked in the door. Where's Ann? Please stand. I know you hate me to ask you to do that. Miss Ann, as you all know, was the wife of my dear friend Doug Bartlett, who passed away last year, and he's the reason that I got connected to you. So I'm just grateful. Thank you for your warm hearts and for letting me be a part of the family. Jeff has been trying to get me to move to North Carolina. That's not in the plan at this point. But I do enjoy my visits very much. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, and I also have the verses on the screen this morning, but I'm going to be talking to you about tuning in to God's voice. I believe that we are in a season right now where it is not optional for you to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. It's a benefit, it's a blessing for every Christian to be able to hear from God's, to hear His voice. You don't have to be special to hear God's voice. It's actually a benefit of every Christian. But a lot of Christians tell me that they struggle to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm going to take us on a little detour for a second. I'm going to actually show you some pictures this morning of different ways that people have listened to music. And some of you, if you're younger, will not understand this. Okay. So if you would go to that first one, is there anybody in here who might remember that the only way you heard music in your house was through something like this? I know that my parents listened to a radio that was about this tall, and they would come in there and sit in front of it for hours and listen to music. okay? And that radio had what was called a tuner that allowed that sound to come through the airwaves so that people could listen to that big band music back in the 40s. Okay, let's move forward real fast to the 70s. Does anybody remember 8-track tapes? Do you remember that clicking sound when it would click over to the next track right in the middle of your song? That's why 8-track tapes did not last very long. And then in the 80s, does anybody remember the boombox? Did anybody have a boombox? And of course, around that same time, we also had, go to the next one, I think it was actually 1979 when the Walkman was introduced, and you had to put your cassette tape in the Walkman. Everybody thought it was so cool that you could walk around with it and put those earphones on to listen to music on a tape. And then if the tape broke, how many of you remember taking a pencil and turning to try to save that tape that you bought? And then, of course, does anybody remember the portable CD player? Some of you younger ones are maybe, you're catching up here. And then lastly, I have a picture of an iPod, which, by the way, they don't make anymore. It was such a cool invention at first to have thousands and thousands of your songs on that little thing. And then they just put it in your phone, so we don't need that anymore. They don't make those anymore. But in every one of those situations, every one of those technologies, there was a particular way that sound could be translated so that we could hear it, okay? And some of those ways that we used to listen to music, we don't do that anymore, okay? Did you know that hearing God's voice used to be a much bigger challenge for people than it is now? In the Old Testament, people did not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Even if they were followers of the true God, they didn't hear God's voice in their spirit. There were certain people who got filled with the Holy Spirit. Usually they were prophets or maybe King David, somebody like that. God would pour out his spirit on people in the Old Testament, and they could somehow, because the spirit was there, he could speak to them and they could hear him. But if you were the average Jew in the Old Testament and you wanted to serve God and you wanted to hear God, you had to go and listen to the Word of God being read, or you had to listen to a prophet who'd been anointed by the Holy Spirit. That was the only way you could hear God's voice. But in those times, the prophet Isaiah spoke to God's people, and he prophesied that something new was coming. He prophesied new technology. He prophesied that a day was coming when all of God's people could hear the voice of the Lord for themselves. We're going to look at this verse in Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 18, and I have this scripture for you on the screen, or you can also look at it in your Bibles. But this was Isaiah prophesying in the Old Testament at a time when nobody could hear the voice of the Lord personally. It says in Isaiah 30, 18, "Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you." And listen to the rest of it. "Although the Lord has given you the bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher," everybody say, "your teacher." Who's our teacher? The Holy Spirit. Your teacher will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. Now, Isaiah was saying that last part about idols because sometimes people would get so desperate to hear the voice of the Lord that they were tempted to go to an idol. Because they saw these other people, these cultures, would go and bow down to an idol, and they would maybe do some kind of superstitious occult ritual, and somehow they would get an answer. If you remember anybody maybe growing up using one of those eight balls, and they would turn it around and try to get an answer, what should I do? And people were tempted to do that and to serve an idol to get an answer from God. But here the prophet is saying, there's a day that is coming when you're not going to need any of that, and you're not going to struggle, but you're going to pray, and your teacher, the Holy Spirit, is going to say to you, this is the way for you to walk. How many of you are grateful today that you live in the New Testament? Come on, somebody. In the New Covenant, we don't have to just get the answer by going and listening to a prophet. We don't have to struggle and sweat to hear God, but God has made provision for you now. If you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have all you need to hear the sound of the voice of the Lord. Amen. And Jesus, of course, he also told us this before he left. He was talking with his disciples, and he told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And look, in John 16, beginning in verse 13, these are the words of Jesus. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And later, Jesus said, you know, it's good that I'm going to be going to the cross, and I'm going to die on that cross, and then I'm going to be raised from the dead, and then I'm going to leave this earth. He said, that's going to be good for you, because then I'm going to send my Spirit. And he's going to live inside of you, and he's going to speak to you. Amen? I want every believer in here, whether you've been serving Jesus for 50 years or you just found Jesus recently. And we need to understand this, folks, because I believe there's a lot of people who are getting ready to come in here who have never known Jesus before. Folks, I want you to know, we are on the verge of a huge harvest season. Do you feel it? Don't you sense it? God has broken some serious darkness off of this nation, and it is harvest time. And when new people come in here, they need to know that there's a Holy Spirit who wants to live in them and speak to them. And then we've got to teach them, how do they hear that voice? I want to give you just four simple points that I always share with new Christians about how they can hear from God. Because I believe that God speaks to us in basically four different ways, okay? Number one is that God speaks to us through the Bible. Can I hear an amen for that? You know, I've shared my testimony here before that I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and they taught me to love the Bible. They told me if it's in the Bible, you should believe it. And so I learned my Bible. We didn't talk very much about the Holy Spirit in that church, but when I was 18 years old, I met this lady who who was a very weird Southern Baptist. She was not like any Baptist I'd ever met, because she talked about the Holy Spirit, and she had actually been filled with the Holy Spirit. And she told me about this experience that you could have called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So she invited me to come over to her home so that she could explain to me this experience, this Pentecostal experience. And when she did, I was sitting on the couch next to her, and she opened up her Bible. And I want to show you a picture of her Bible. This is actually a photograph I took of her Bible. This woman is no longer with us. She passed away a few years ago during the pandemic. Her name was June, and she was taking me to different verses in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, and I could hardly pay attention to her when she opened up her Bible, because I saw all this writing in her Bible, and everything was blue and yellow and writing on the sides and notes everywhere. And I just looked at that and I thought, why would anybody ever do that? Why would you write in your Bible? Because I didn't really read my Bible that much, and I wasn't that interested. Well, guess what? After I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started reading my Bible, and verses would just like jump off the page. And then all of a sudden, I thought, I think I need a yellow highlighter. I'm going to have to get one of those pens that June had. And before long, if you look at my Bible now, guess what? It looks just like that. Why is that? Because the Bible is a supernatural book. There's nothing like it on planet Earth. It's the only book you can read that comes with the author of the book helping you to understand it. There's no other book you can buy where you can actually hear the, you know, you can buy audio books where the author reads the Bible, reads the book, but there's no other book where the author actually is there 24/7 to explain the verses to you. And when you're reading scripture and you're praying about something, and when I read my Bible every day, and I'm in different books, and, you know, I just finished Luke, and now I'm going to be jumping into another book, and I'm reading through, and I'm like, Lord, I've also got things that I'm praying about. I've got things I need to understand. I need guidance from you. I need answers from you. How many of y'all need some answers right now? And, you know, there's not a verse that tells you specifically about whether you should buy that house or whether you should take this job. But God has engineered His Word to make it very personal to you. And so you can be reading along and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And there's your answer if you're listening. Amen? But if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you need to soak your mind in the Word of God daily. Because God doesn't ever speak anything that contradicts His Word. So the more you know His Word, the easier it's going to be for you to hear His voice as it applies to your life. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that we take our Bibles and we say, okay, Lord, I need an answer from you. That's what we used to call Bible roulette. And you say, Lord, what should I do? And you open it up and it says, Judas hung himself. And then you go, oh, no, that's not it. Let me see what else. Okay, Lord. And then you turn it open and it says, go and do likewise. No. We don't misuse Scripture, amen, to hear from Him. You sincerely seek Him and you study His Word, and He will make His Word applicable to your life. This happened to me one time many years ago. When my wife and I were newly married and we had a couple of little kids, and I was praying about the possibility of going to seminary or Bible college, I thought, well, maybe I should do that. And I didn't know what He had planned for me, so it was a sincere question. And then God took me to this verse in Psalm 32:8, which you've probably read many times, but it jumped off the page at me. And that verse said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Now, I'd read that verse many, many times. And that verse doesn't say don't go to Bible college. But what it was saying to me was, I will instruct you. And he was saying, that's not my plan for you to go to seminary, because I'm going to take you on a different path to teach you. Now, that's nothing against seminary, because God might call somebody else to seminary. He may call somebody else to Bible college. But let me tell you, God has something very uniquely special for you. Amen? And he made that very real to me. And he said, I'm going to take care of this. I don't want you to do that. I'm going to counsel you, and I'm going to instruct you. So that's one way that God used his word to speak to me. Number two is that God speaks through the Holy Spirit. Now, we know if you read the book of Acts, if you read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, you can see that the Holy Spirit speaks in different ways as well. The Holy Spirit can give visions, which is where you see things in the Spirit. He can give you a dream, which is where he's showing you a visual while you're asleep. He also, and I believe in those things. I believe in dreams and I believe in visions, but I don't believe that that is the most common way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. I believe that that is what we call the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the prophet Elijah was in a cave and he had just called down fire from heaven, and then he got kind of discouraged and Jezebel was chasing him, the Bible says that Elijah didn't hear the voice of the Lord in the earthquake, and he didn't hear the voice of the Lord in the wind, and he didn't hear the voice of the Lord in the fire. He said he heard him in the still, small voice. And that is what we call the inner witness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. It's not audible. There are people, I've met people who have heard the audible voice of the Lord, and that can happen, and it's happened in the Bible at times. But it's not the most common way that he speaks to us. But he speaks to you in a way that you know that you know that you know that that is his voice. And when you start hearing the still small voice of the Lord, you start to recognize it. And then the more he does it, the more you know that's him, and you become a mature believer who knows the voice of the Lord. And that's what I'm praying for all of you today, and I know Pastor Jeff wants this for you, is he wants a church full of people who can hear from God. Amen? Now, how does this work? Because I've had young Christians ask me, but how do I know if that's the voice of the Lord? And I just have to say, you just know. Because he's your father. You know the father's voice. And you wouldn't follow a different voice. You wouldn't follow a stranger. But when God speaks, you know it's him. One time when I lived years ago in Gainesville, Florida, I was driving down the street. I had a job there that I worked with a Christian ministry. This was back when I was in my 20s. And I was driving down the street. I wasn't praying. I wasn't seeking some answer. But out of the blue, the still small voice of the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, Lee, you're going to live in Washington, D.C. And it was so shocking that I almost felt like pulling over the car. I mean, it was like, okay, I know that was God's voice, but I wasn't expecting that. That did not originate with me. It came out of nowhere. But because I had been learning to understand the voice of the Lord, I knew it was him. I didn't have any reason to move to Washington, D.C. I was happy in my job in Florida. I wasn't trying to move there, didn't really have an interest in living there. There was no reason for me to make that up. And so I just went home, and actually this was before I was married, and then when I got married, I remember telling my wife that I had that experience. And we were just like, okay. But guess what? A few years later, my job in Gainesville, Florida abruptly ended. And all of a sudden, I was scrambling, and I sent out resumes for my next job assignment. And the first resume that got a phone call, guess where it was from? Washington, D.C. And this brother, Christian, said, I saw your resume. I want to invite you to come up. We want to interview you for this position. And you know what? Because God had already spoken to me about that, I kind of had a feeling this was it. And then when they offered me the job, it didn't take a lot for me to say yes because I already knew. Hello? The Holy Spirit can drop something into your heart now that's not for now, but it's for later. And you hold on to that, just like Mary pondered in her heart what all that the angel had spoken to her. We treasure those words that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Amen? And I have had a vision, and I think I've shared in this room before that at a very critical moment in my life when I was surrendering to the call of God and I was having to leave a career in journalism, and I was saying, Lord, I'm willing to go into full-time ministry. I had a vision while I was on the floor, and I saw a massive room full of Africans. And I knew that I was standing in front of an audience of Africans. And I didn't have any explanation for that, but it was, I think, 2 years later that I was standing on a platform in Nigeria preaching to 7,000 pastors. They were all Africans, and it was pretty much exactly what I had seen. The Holy Spirit can show you what is going to come. Amen? And He has that for every one of us. It's not because I'm special. God wants every Christian to hear the voice of the Lord. Number three is God speaks through other people. Amen? Do you know that God can speak to you through a conversation with a mentor? He can speak to you through a pastor's sermon. Has that ever happened in this room? Can God speak to you through a mother's phone call? Can He speak to you through a friend's counsel? He can even speak to you through a stranger. He can sometimes use people to speak for Him. And now, there is a gift in the New Testament, a spiritual gift called the gift of prophecy. And I have come to believe that that is a real gift. I believe all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. I don't believe that the Spirit shut the power off and said that those gifts don't work anymore. We are still living in the book of Acts. Amen. I don't know what chapter we're in now, but the Spirit is still moving. When I was 23 years old, a prophet called me out in a room and looked at me, and he didn't know me from anybody. He asked me what my name was. I told him my name, and he said, God says you will not hide behind your pen, but you're going to preach His word. And at the time, I was a writer, and I was very happy to hide, and I was not thinking that I would ever do anything public in terms of ministry. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do as long as it does not involve talking in front of people. But I had that nagging word that a prophet said to me. And he said, you're not going to be able to hide behind your pen. Sometimes, you know, those are the kind of words that we wouldn't just love to hear ourselves. That's why sometimes He has to send somebody else to speak them to you, because you probably wouldn't, if God spoke that to you, you'd just go, okay, I bind the devil right now in Jesus' name. I remember being at the altar April 28, 1984. That was my wedding. My wife and I have been married 40 years this year. Amen. And at that altar, we made time for prophetic words and blessings to be spoken over us. And there was a pastor there, and he came up and he prophesied over us. And he specifically prophesied to me and said, the offices of the government of this nation are going to open to you, and you're going to speak into the lives of leaders. I was like, what? I'm 25 years old. I work for this little ministry in Florida. Nobody in Washington, D.C. knows me or cares or wants any advice from me. It sounded completely far-fetched. Fast forward several years. When I lived in Washington, D.C., number one, the first time I got to go into the White House and interview the first George Bush, H.W. Bush, in the press room, I got to be in there with him. And then in the year 2000, I got to interview George W. Bush on his campaign plane for 30 minutes. That was something I never thought I would do, and yet the Holy Spirit spoke it ahead of time. And when God speaks like that, he sets things in motion, and his word is performed. Amen? So don't despise when God speaks prophetic words over you. And I want to just say, God, I believe God's loosening us up. We spoke this morning about freedom, and we were enjoying the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I want you to know, when you're in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, his gifts start moving. How many of you want the prophetic to flow in your life? You know, a lot of times we're like, oh, Lord, I want a prophecy. Give me a prophecy. And he says, well, how about if you speak a prophecy? How about I want you? Maybe you're praying about your next job, and maybe you had your heart set on this one job, and then they call you up and they say, sorry, we're full up. We didn't pick you. And then all of a sudden you get a phone call from somewhere else. And they say, we just got your resume, and we want you to come down here. And then you realize that God is making his own choices here. You are limited, but God knows best. Amen? And sometimes he can move heaven and earth to make you realize that this is what he wants for you. I have a real personal story about this that involves my oldest daughter. So my daughter, Margaret, she's 39 years old now. Actually, she's turning 39 years old this week. And when Margaret was in high school, her senior year, she was really set on going to this one college in Nashville, Tennessee called Belmont College, Belmont University. She wanted to go there, and she filled out all the paperwork, and she was so adamant that she wanted to go to that school. Well, then she applied for a scholarship because I told her, Margaret, this school is very expensive, and there is really no way you're going to be able to go there if I have to pay that much. So you need a financial or an academic scholarship. And Margaret had good grades. So she sent all the paperwork in, and then one day she got a call, and Belmont University called her and said, we're very sorry, but you did not qualify for the scholarship. We'd love to have you, but you're going to have to pay the $30,000 a year or whatever it was. So Margaret was devastated. She was back in her room, probably crying. But on that same day, I got a voicemail on my phone from somebody named David Hopkins at Emmanuel College in Franklin Springs, Georgia. I didn't know who David Hopkins was, and so I called up my friend Barbara James, and I said, who is David Hopkins? And Barbara James says, he's the president of Emmanuel College. You should call him back. So I said, okay. So I called this man back, and he was calling me to invite me to speak at the Emmanuel College graduation that year. And we got to talking about the college, and then he asked me about my family. I said, I have a daughter who's wanting to go to college next year. And he goes, oh, well, has she considered Emmanuel? I said, no, sorry. And he said, well, you know, did you know that if you're ordained in the IPHC, you can get a scholarship? And did you know that her SAT scores will qualify her for this other scholarship? She really should consider it. So I went back to Margaret's room, and I said, look, I'm not telling you what to do. But I just want you to consider, maybe this is not, you know, a coincidence that on the same day that you were rejected by Belmont University, you got this offer to come and see Emmanuel College, Christian College, that is actually more affordable, and they're offering you a scholarship. So she said she would agree to go to the preview weekend. So we went up there. She saw Emmanuel. It only took about 1 hour for her to fall in love with it. She was ready to go. She ended up going to Emmanuel that September. She finished school there 4 years later. She met her husband there. They got married on campus the weekend of graduation. And then she and her husband stayed there and worked for 4 years because they loved the school so much, and they loved the students, and they served the students for 4 years. And Margaret and Rick still have a close, close connection to that school. All of that happened because of a random phone call that came out of the blue on the same day that she had been rejected from her other choice. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Do you believe that was God? Of course it was. God sometimes is in the details of our lives, and we just have it in your life. And be thankful like you've never been thankful before, that the Holy Spirit lives in you and wants you to hear His guidance in your life. Amen? Right now, I'm going to ask, just maybe somebody can come up and just play real quiet. I want to pray over you as we close. And I want to pray for all of you to hear better than you've ever heard. There might be somebody in here today that's dealing with actual hearing issues. Sometimes we start losing our ability to hear physically. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about spiritually hearing. And some of you literally feel like, I don't think God speaks to me. Some of you literally think, well, yeah, I know He talks to Pastor Jeff, and I know He talks to those real spiritual people, but I just don't feel like I have what it takes. And you're the person that I want to pray for today. Because that's not scriptural. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a sheep. You might sometimes have to be prodded a little bit. Maybe God has to put a prophet in front of you sometimes to say, you can't hide behind your pen. Sometimes He might need to whack you on the side of the head sometimes with a word from someone else, but He wants to open up your tuner in your spirit so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. If you're in a place this morning where you are saying, I need to hear God's voice about my personal situation, I'm facing a decision, I'm facing a crisis, I need some guidance. The Holy Spirit told me there's somebody in here today that you feel like you just keep running into a wall. It's like you just want to go forward. Even in your relationship with God, you want to go forward, but you feel like every time you try, you're bumping up against some kind of obstacle. And God this morning wants to destroy that. He wants to break that down in front of you. And He wants to release a rush of His Spirit in your heart and mind so that you will start hearing His voice. And you'll start, and you know, when God starts speaking to us, it's not just about telling you what He wants you to do. Sometimes He just wants to say, I love you. Sometimes He wants to say, I forgave you for that. Sometimes He wants to say, let go of that memory that's so painful, let go of that, and let me bring you into the new thing that I'm doing. Amen. Can we all bow our heads right now?
And if you are in a place this morning where you desperately need to hear the Lord's voice for yourself, I want you to have the courage just to stand up where you are. Just stand up, be brave, because I'm going to ask other people are going to stand up and pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar, but I want you to stand up if you're in a place where you are needing guidance right now and you need His answers for your life. Go ahead. I'm going to wait just a minute. There's several of you that need to be standing right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't feel afraid of doing this, because we're a family. Just stand where you are. And I want to ask, if that person that's here that's been running into that wall, you just feel like you've been going in circles and you desperately want to know the Lord in a deep way, but you just feel like every time I get serious about that, I just feel like I get stuck. Whoever that is, I want to challenge you to come down and just kneel somewhere at this altar this morning, because I'm gonna linger and pray for you after we're finished with this service. If that's you, if you've been in that place, there's somebody here this morning that, if you're honest, you would say, I really do believe I have been running from the Lord's call on my life, and I want to surrender to that. If that's you, I also want you to come up. Now, everybody in this room, if you look around and you see someone standing near you, I want at least two people to get up and just gently put your hands on their shoulder. And we're going to pray right now for God's voice and clarity, for His guidance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we don't live in those ancient times where we couldn't even hear your inner witness. Lord, thank you that Jesus paid the price so that the Holy Spirit could live in us, He could abide in us, and that He speaks 24/7. He is available to lead, to guide, to reveal truth to us, and most of all, to draw us into an intimate relationship. Father, we pray right now for every person that has stood, and Lord, they need answers, Lord. Father, we ask that you bring solutions. We ask that you release wisdom. We ask, Lord, that you show them the next step that they are to take. And we ask, Lord, that they will take those steps by faith, that they will not be afraid. And I hear the Lord saying to many of you this morning, I'm calling you to take a step of faith. I'm calling you to step out of the boat onto the water. Don't just live in isolation, and don't just hide in the darkness. But Jesus says, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you forward. I'm calling you into the new thing. And all you need to do is put your foot over the side of the boat and step onto that water, and I will take you by the hand. Take the step of faith this morning. And the Lord is also crushing fear, fear of lack, fear of financial difficulty. And He says that I'm going to give you the solution that you need in order to prosper. And also, there's some of you that you are facing relationship challenges. And the Lord says, listen carefully to me. And I'm going to direct, and I'm going to guide, and I'm going to show you the answer. I'm going to close the doors that need to be closed, and I'm going to open the doors that need to be opened. Trust in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, could we all just stand up together as we close? And I want to ask everybody in this room to put your hands on your ears. Just put your hands on your ears. Father, I pray for this church. I pray that you would tune their ears to your voice. I pray tune out every other voice, every voice that would mislead, every other voice that would deceive, every other voice that would take them in the wrong direction. And Lord, I ask that their ears would be tuned to the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit, and that this house would be a place where we hear the voice of God, and this would be a people that hears the voice of the Lord. I ask that you stir up the gift of prophecy in every person. And Lord, I ask, Father, that, Lord, we will be so sensitive to your leading and to your guidance. Lord, bless this family of people, and may they be a people who hear the voice of the Lord in Jesus' name.